Hi, everyone. Hope you had a good lunch. If you're not finished, that's fine. Keep going. I'm just going to start with this last session. It's not easy stuff to talk about, but it's very necessary. So we're going to talk about safeguarding children and the process of the DBS, which is what used to be called a CRB, Disclosure and Barring Services. It's like a police check that you go through if you're going to work with children. We're going to start with some case studies. So what Margot and I have done is through our time of working with children in this country in church capacity, we've just written down some real things that have happened to us or in the groups that we have worked in. I've got four different ones. I'm going to put you into four small groups. They're not nice, but they're real. So the point of this is to just know, okay, how are we going to keep these children safe? And the fact is, there are children that we will encounter that are experiencing abuse of some description. It's inevitable. So we need to be prepared. So we are sharing with you things that we have been through and learned from. So I'm just going to give you the case studies. I'm not going to read them out. We'll go through them afterwards. And just in your small groups, maybe 5 minutes, talk about, okay, what would you do? If you don't know, that's fine. That's the purpose of this short bit. If you do know, then feel free to share your knowledge. So how many are we? Three. So I think what I might do, if I put... sorry, I should have thought about this before. You three together, and then you two together, and then Mel and Nigel and Jackie and Almery. And I'll just give you one. We'll spend 5 minutes talking about it in your groups, and then we'll just sort of chat through them in a bigger group. Is that okay? Cool. Okay. I'm going to give you your pieces of paper, and then you can crack on. Who has number one? You guys. Do you want to just read it out for everyone? And then you can just brief us. Yes, thank you very much.
A child whilst playing tells you, "Auntie D hits me and that's not nice." Is a three-year-old. What would you do? So we thought we'll question a child first without putting words in his mouth. It's like, oh, where? You know. And also, if you know the auntie or the parent, go and speak to them. Maybe actually, yeah, speak to the parent first. And maybe see more in depth. And yeah, so the parent can take it further.
Anything else? Is that it? This actually happened at Little Gates, which most of you are aware of. And the child... So one of the things you... shouldn't do, which we'll come to later, is probe for more information. So actually, you just write down exactly what the child says. If they choose to take the conversation further, that's fine. Also, in a case of abuse being disclosed, a family member, you shouldn't talk to the person who the child is referring to, because you don't know then what repercussions that will have on the child. So in that case, what we did was recorded it. We actually did pass it on because of the behaviour of the child previously, which we had noted. We did have a concern. But it's a tricky one. So it's a very tricky one. And actually, it didn't go so well with that family. And, you know, this is the thing with these case studies. There are definitely things that you shouldn't do. But what you should do sometimes is the role of the designated person to make that call. So... really, you just pass on what's happened, and then the designated person, you know, decides whether to escalate it or not. But it is tricky, especially that child was only three, so is a difficult one to know. You know, like I heard Elizabeth saying, you know, are they just saying it, or do they, you know, do they, and we have to assume what the child says is absolutely true until proved otherwise, because that's just the nature of any. Did you have any questions or anything related to that one? No. Yes.
So in that specific case, we took counsel from Ofsted. So we phoned Ofsted and took their advice and followed their advice to the letter. It ended up with social services, I think, and they told us that the child is known to them. Thank you for reporting it, and that's where we left it. So if you don't know what to do, take counsel and advice from the organizations, Ofsted in this case. I'm not sure for in a church setting which organization, maybe someone else could inform you.
Yes, thank you. We'll talk you through the organisations that we use a bit later on. Who had number two? You guys. This one is probably the most difficult, or not difficult one, intense one. So, you know, prepare yourselves.
Two brothers aged 9 and 6 year olds take off their T-shirt on a bus full of other children and start doing highly sexualised moves and laughing. What would you do? A few months later, one of their two sisters, 7 year old, says, "My brothers keep sexting me and they won't stop. Can you tell them to stop?" Now what do you do? Two brothers, 9 and 6 years old, take their T-shirt off on a bus full of other children. They start doing highly sexualized moves and laughing. What do you do? A few months later, one of their two sisters, 7 year old, says, "My brothers keep sexting me and they won't stop. Can you tell them to stop?" What do you do now? So we kind of split it into two things. And the first was like, if what would our initial response be? Because we're on a bus with other children. We're responsible for those children at that moment. And we sort of said that we would, want to protect, you know, their dignity and the other children. So we would ask them to put their T-shirt back on, we'd sit them down, and we'd be like, "This, we don't do that on the bus. This is not appropriate behaviour for right now." When if it's appropriate to have your phone out, or if you've got pen and paper, to write down exactly what happens at that time. I think the quicker you write it down, the fresher it is. And just facts, not... anything else, not how you were feeling or whatever, just literally the facts of what happened. And then we would we'd pass it on to somebody else. And then with the bit later, I mean, it was a more difficult one. And
passing on to somebody else like your...
we're assuming that we're going to have a safeguard officer, which would be someone we'd go to. And, like, I've never had this sort of thing in a church, so I know, like, in a school setting... we'd probably go to, you can go straight to a safeguard officer. You don't really have to go to your manager, or in this case, a pastor first. You can take a direct link to safeguard officer. So I'm assuming it's the same again. And then for the second part, we just said that, again, you write it down and it is something that you pass on. And it's definitely not something you deal with on your own. And we said that probably there'd be like a multidisciplinary team would meet pretty promptly to decide what to do. And we also, we didn't mention Ofsted, but we mentioned like multi-agency safeguarding hubs in our boroughs where you can, and again, that's another, anyone can call, not just a safeguarding officer. And then like Hanky was saying, they can gather information from lots of different, you know, schools or children's centres to build a different, a bigger case. That was sort of where we were going.
So we used to use the bus to pick up children, bring them to church, do the hour program, and then take them home again. And this was one of our most challenging, the two brothers particularly were some of our most challenging children to manage behaviour-wise. And a very challenging family. We also had a good relationship with their parents, but it was clear that from how they were, that they had a lot of needs and there was stuff going on. It's just something to be aware of, because of right now in our society, the sexualization of children is an issue. A lot of children are being exposed to stuff very early on that they shouldn't be. And over-sexualized behavior is a concern that is very noteworthy. In that case, we did do exactly what you said. You obviously rectify the situation straight away on the bus. and discipline them, put your t-shirts on, sit down, and distract them, actually. We talk to them, you know, rather go and send someone to sit with them and talk with them for the rest of the journey so they don't do it again. And write it down exactly straight away. The second part, actually, the sister, she was talking to me, and again, we had to write it down. The good thing about this family was that we also did assemblies in the school that those children attended, and the youngest sister had some developmental issues, so there was also a concern around that. So we were also speaking to their head teacher, and these children actually ended up in care. I actually don't know where they are now. But it is a case of, as you said, recording it and passing it on to the appropriate person. Then that person makes a call. And again, like, you get advice from the organisation, which we are also using. But it's hard. And when you develop a relationship with these children and then, I mean, they sort of disappeared. I mean, they left the school they were in, even though we were in. So, you know, like, you just don't know what's happened to them. And all you can do is pray for them. But obviously, follow the correct procedures. And that's, yes, what happened. Number three? Was there any questions? Yes. Sorry. Yeah. The thing is, it's difficult because it's an outreach setting. So, you know, if it was in a church setting, you know, like, you could speak to the parents and just say, just so you know, this happened, your children may talk about it. But then also, you have to be highly confidential. So one of the things Jackie said about going straight to the designated person, that's because nobody needs to know. Unless you're involved, like, even in a school setting, you don't talk about it with the other staff members. You only go straight to the person. So it's a tricky one. And really, I mean, what would you say about that, Margot? Do you have experience with that? Because it's a hard...
Like you said, it's an outreach thing. You actually don't have, you can't meet all of them. But what we did with something similar is we just, in the next club that we had, we just said to them, guys, this is not the way to do it. You know, like, we made it actually part of the rule at one stage, because especially when they're about 10, 11, they get very... hormones kicks in and they started to, like, trying to be the man, and, you know, so that's when we started to bring that in slowly as part of the rules and say, come on guys, don't do that there. So, because we actually brought in, because they will do moves and say, oh, but we're just fighting. So we brought in not even play fighting, because they say that's play fighting in their little world. Oh, okay. So
we also said that, like, not just think of safeguarding the children, but safeguarding ourselves. Once we had, like, somebody, a child known of concerns, we then wouldn't be alone with that child again. Mm. To always make sure there was two of us.
Yeah. Number three.
A child keeps telling you that there is alcohol abuse and domestic violence in their home and asks you to keep it a secret. What do you do?
So, what do you do? Oh!
Want to have a go?
What we thought, we can't keep it confidential to ourselves, because obviously that's a greater picture. So, well, we thought we needed to report to someone. So I suppose in our case, if it's in children's church, then we report to Margot, I think, as a lead. And then what we'd imagine Margot would need to do is to report to the social services. We wondered if this comes under Ofsted territory as well, but we were thinking possibly social services, really.
And I think I think it's when a child asks you to keep a secret like that, that's very hard. But you have to explain to the child as well that you can't keep that a secret. And you have to explain to the child why you can't keep that a secret. So they have to understand why?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to us. One of our kids' leaders, said to the child, "I promise you I won't tell anybody." And that opened a whole can of worms. Never, ever tell a child that "I promise I will not tell anybody." That's a big thing. First of all, if you come and tell me, you're breaking their trust. The minute that they found out that I know, you're breaking their trust. And trust is a big thing for a child, especially if a child comes from a broken home. So when a child comes to you and say, "I want to tell you something, but you must promise," then you tell them, I can't promise you. I will keep it to myself and let's hear what it's about, and then maybe we should share it with Margot. Okay? But we will not share it with our other children. That you can say, because you will not share it with our other children. But you can't promise that you're not going to share it with anybody else. So what happened in that case is she promised that she's not going to do. So she came to us, she told us, and we had to step in. Then she was upset with us because she promised the child. But at the end of the child's is the most important thing to us. We must look after them. And this really, really bad home, yeah, it was there was drugs, there was a lot of stuff happening. So it just, because then the trust between the child and the leader was broken, the trust between the leader and us were broken. It was like a ripple effect, you know, and we don't want that. So please, guys, whenever a child said, "Promise me," say, "No, I can't promise you, but tell me what's wrong." And make sure that they know you will not discuss it with anybody else, you know, like children. Because that's the biggest thing for them, is that they fear that you're going to share it with their parents, or say, "No, I'm going to tell Margot." Say a specific person, then they will know. Okay, so that was the number four.
Sorry, a girl says that one of your leaders came into her room on a residential weekend and touched her. What do you do? So this was a really difficult one because it's one of your leaders. And it's over a residential weekend. So we said that the first thing that we would do is go to the person, whoever is the safeguarding person. Then we because it's a residential weekend, we had a thing about, well, maybe the child shouldn't be alone in their room if they're there with their family. But then there were so many layers. And then we had a discussion about, should you tell the leader of the accusation that was made against them, since it's one of your leaders? And then there was, that leader shouldn't be alone with this girl. So it's actually, there's a lot of question marks that we had, actually.
Okay, so we took about 75 children every summer on a summer camp. And this girl came downstairs and said a guy touched her. And there was another little girl with her that just like, yes, 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 okay. But one of the rules is, never be alone with a child in a room. Full stop. It's not that we don't trust you. It's to avoid situations like this. So what was actually amazing, it was myself and a guy. We noticed that these three girls were missing and we went looking for them. But I was standing in the corridor and I could clearly see, but they didn't see me. But they could clearly see, I could see him, and I could clearly hear every word that was spoken. And another child was also with me at that specific moment. And he told them, "You guys know you shouldn't be alone here. Come downstairs." And yeah, so we walked off. 2 hours later, the leader came to me and said, "Well, they just said this guy did this." And I said, "Well, when?" She must say. So they called me in and they called this girl in and she said, yeah, he did this and this and this. And I could immediately say, are you sure? Because I was in the corridor right there and one of the other girls saw me as well. So it was, and then it was when I stood up and just because I was there, I could challenge her because then it came out that this girl, she doesn't have a father. Okay, she's desperately looking for attention. She always sat on every man's lap. You know, she would always come. She was 10 years old. Okay, so she, it was looking for attention. And then the other kids say, immediately when they realized, like, actually, you know, we don't have a leg to stand, the girl said, no, she just let me say that. So it was even, we didn't even have to approach the leader because it was solved. And this is why we put this case study forward, is that, guys, don't be alone with a child in a room. You know, either surround yourself with other children, like, you know, that there was other children and I was there. It's a pity I wasn't in the room because I was, you know, communicating. But it's just, it's really, it's not that we don't trust people. It is to protect you against that. Because the guy that she actually accused is the last person in this world that will do things like that. So it was just, it was good that there was, yeah. Exactly.
So if you went in the corridor, what would you have done?
Then we had everything, listen, even that case, we had to make a note.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in, if you think it's so stupid, you know, it doesn't matter. Just write it down to cover yourself. So if a child comes back and says this and this and this happened, then we can say, yes, it did happen, but this and this and this was, you know, that there was another leader or whatever. In that case, if he was alone, we will have to take it further. It's as simple as that. We can't say no. Like we had another, just to give you an example, we had a 10-year-old. What we did is every week we go and visit the children at their homes with a fun sheet. And we got to this child home and she was alone, and we were like, where's mommy and daddy? No, they're in Ibiza. What? Yes, mommy and daddy's, or mommy's actually in Ireland, she lives there, but daddy's on, you know, Ibiza. And we're like, oh, for today? No, no, he's been gone for the week. Now, what do you do? Okay? You can't just let it go. You have to do something. That's social services. You have to call them in. And it's a hard call to do because she was very proud of herself that she's all alone. And she was very, she was capable, actually. She was a very, she's a street-wise little girl. But I couldn't leave her like that. I had to report it to social services. So it is hard. Sometimes, you know, it's not an easy thing to just go and knock on social services doors because you know how it's going to happen as well. But you have to. At the end of the day, your responsibility is with a child. What's the safety of a child? That's the thing.
Sorry. So I'm just thinking of it as a context of, okay, you know, we're doing this in a church. This is our family. Our family have kids who we're a part of as well. But at the same time, this time we're away, we teach them in the day. But then at night, we're having family socials. And where's that line? Like, what? Yeah, how do we handle that?
Against relationships as well, you know. Okay, so the case is if a plant, a good example, planted, you know, you are friends with the family, but you're the leader, the kid's leader in the day. And how do you play? Like in the evening, you want to play games with him, and during the day, you have to.
Take him swimming.
Yes. So I would, this is me personally, I'm taking my leadership hat off here, is. It's a relationship thing. You know, you have a relationship with the parents, first of all, and you get their permission, you know. As, because the minute that you step out of your leadership role, you're a friend. Okay? We're talking like leadership here. Okay? So when you are teaching, you step, you put your hat on, your leadership, and you do under that rules. The minute that you are interactive as a social, like with Arkis and Milani's kids, okay, I don't need to get her permission to sign off, you know, that I'm going to go and play with them when they're planted. They're just around me anyway. But the minute that I'm their leader, I need to step in. And they also know that at Kids Church, I'm not Auntie Margot. I'm Margot, the leader. Okay, it's different roles, because and that's also with Kids Church. You know, we are not for an hour. We are their pastors. We're not their friend. Okay, we're their pastors. We're going to give input in them. So I will joke and fool around with them after Kids Church, but in Kids Church, you know, we do the rules. I'm not going to overlook if they. You know, because they're my brother's kids, if they step out of line during the time. So it's that hat. Which hat do I wear? Yeah, just to make sure. While I was saying that, I was thinking of something else, but now I can't. Yeah, but that's the gist basically is you must be very conscious when you are a pastor. Because at the end, that is, you know, you are stepping into the role of giving, and when you are just a friend, okay, to the family.
I'll just add something quickly. We also did home visits and encountered children at home alone. If they're on holiday, that's one thing, but there's actually no legal age to which you can leave a child at home here. It is based on parents' judgment, basically. So we also had... a family that, well, I found children at home on more than one occasion, but we had one particular family who were already, we were a bit concerned about, and they had like a 9-year-old, 5-year-old boy and a baby, and we found them at home. We called social services. It can get very, then, you know, sometimes the parents get a bit defensive, or I just popped out for, but it's, I mean, like Margot says, you can't always make the call. It's not down to us. We just have to follow the procedure. Milani's just going to take a couple of minutes. Is that right? No? Oh, before the TBS. Sorry, I thought after the case studies. Okay, cool. So, thanks, guys. What I just wanted to show you, I actually found this today. We haven't yet adapted this, but this would be something that we would fill in a case of anything like that happening. Probably what we'll do is put this maybe in the file or something. It's basically a way that you record what's happened, so the name, the date, what exactly happened, and then you will give it to Hanku, who will be our safeguarding designated, I will find the proper term in a minute for you. But anyway, I'm going to run through it all now. So I'm going to try and be quick. Please bear with me. It's important. I don't want to gloss over it, but also try to be concise. So the next slide, so I just want to talk to you about these two different words. So safeguarding is the general, anything we do to keep children safe, basically protecting them and preventing any harm to them and ensuring safe care and the best outcome. So everything we do basically is linked to safeguarding children. Child protection specifically is the action that we take if a child appears to be at risk or in danger of being harmed or actually being harmed. So that's the difference. If you like, child protection is a part of safeguarding, but safeguarding actually encompasses like sort of health and safety and first aid, all of that stuff together. You'll just hear those terms a lot, just so you know the difference. So probably what we're going to try and talk about a bit more is safeguarding rather than child protection. Child protection is what you use in these cases. That's what you put into place. Okay, so just some facts. The again, this is quite intense, but it's true. These are current. Just if you can go to the next slide, Dong. So one in five children experience serious abuse here in the UK. So I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking, okay, if you have a child and they're in school, they're in a class of about 30, that's six children in that class who are likely to be experiencing abuse, and not just abuse, serious abuse. So one in 10 children experience neglect at some point in their lives, so that's not being cared for properly, whether it's, you know, food or clothing or hygiene or whatever. One in five children are exposed to domestic violence or violence in the home in different ways, adults, other children, you know, whatever. And in the UK, at least one child a week, it actually, when I looked at this, one to two children a week dies at the hands of other people. So it's really, it is going on. You know, this stuff is not just red tape for the sake of jumping through hoops. It really is very necessary. And yes, I mean, when the more children you work with, the more you see it, unfortunately. This, what I just want to say about this is a quick run through, okay? This is not full safeguarding training. This is just to make you aware, and we will expand on this in the future. Was what we really need is a proper, you know, well, you could do this in 2 days, but we've only got, you know, 20 minutes or so. Okay, so the next slide is just abuse is broken down into four general categories: physical, emotional, sexual, and neglect. So neglect is all like a bit different because it's all like withdrawal of something, while the others are doing something that's not positive. So I was going to try and make this a bit more interactive, but because we're running out of time, not running out of time, but I just want to keep to time. Probably just going to talk at you. I'm sorry about that. And if you just, we just read through this, this is sort of like the classification, if you like, of what abuse is. So children can be abused in a family or in an institutional or community setting by those known to them, or more rarely by a stranger, for example, via the internet. They may also be abused by an adult or adults or another child or children. Unfortunately, more commonly, more and more, you will see the second, so between children, which is also very, very difficult to manage. You know, it's all difficult to manage, but it's just, because children are being exposed to things, broken children don't know how to behave appropriately, and, you know, then it manifests in their behaviour also. This is just, as I say, a brief overview. The next slide is just quickly what to do or not do if a child ever tells you anything. Okay, so in all of these case studies that we've just talked about, do remain calm, take it seriously. As I said, you have to give the child the impression, I mean, even if you think, okay, this is a child with needs, I'm not sure I believe what they're saying, you have to give the impression to the child you believe absolutely what they're saying. Listen carefully without interrupting, reassure them, report what you've heard, like I said, fill in the form that we have, and then give it straight to Hanko, speak to Hanko as soon as we can, and just record it as soon as possible. Like Jackie said, when you're on the bus, sit down on the bus, do it on the bus. Also, the don'ts. So don't ask the child to repeat or ask for more information than they have already given you. You can clarify, so you could repeat back. So are you telling me, is this what I just heard you said? Don't put words in their mouth, but you can clarify what they're saying. Don't ask them for more information or make assumptions or, you know, allow it to affect maybe your relationship with the family or whatever they say. As we said, you cannot keep a secret, and don't make any comment on what, you know, if they've said it to somebody about somebody, oh, but your mum's so nice, I'm sure she wouldn't do that. You know, don't go down that route or say, oh my goodness, I can't believe your dad did that, you know, or whatever. Just don't make any comment at all. Don't delay getting help, and don't try and take it on yourself, because that's not your role. Your role is just to hear what they're saying and go for it. Not go for it, but, you know, follow the procedure. Thank you. I just have as well. So I don't know what I just wanted to maybe talk through is just what you might see in a child that might cause you concern. So, I mean, sometimes they say it to you, like many of these examples, sometimes they don't. So, especially if you're working in an education setting or with the younger children, for example, where you might be changing a nappy or whatever, there's lots of things in their behaviour, in their play, that you might see that might make you concerned. I'm just thinking here, what's the best way to do it? I think maybe what I'll do is put you into groups again. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. same groups. And these are the four here. So I'm going to give you one each, and you can talk about, okay, what might you see on a child, in a child's behaviour, or even, you know, if their mum comes to pick them up or something, there's something not right there, what would you see that might indicate any of these? And we will take just 5 minutes. So if I give, you guys can have neglect, you guys can have emotional abuse, you guys can have physical abuse, you guys can have sexual abuse. Yes. Sticking with the themes.
Yes. Guys, I just want to quickly say, if we're going to have the toddler's room in this, hopefully in this year, I think you must just help me now, Charlotte, if I'm saying correctly. I think we can have a form as well for the parents, or on the form maybe, or a different, just to add on to the permission, not the permission form, the registration form, that is your child potty trained, and do you like us do you give us permission to help your child at the toilets? Because then you know you have their permission. Okay, so just on that.
Great. So is that clear? Yes. Okay. Great. So I'll give you just 5 minutes, chat through that, and then we'll come back in a few minutes. Okay. So whatever we come up with, it's probably not going to be an exhaustive list. I'll just show you what I've got here, this one here, this slide. There's lots. and a lot of them overlap. But anyway, let's start with neglect. What did you guys say? Oh.
So we decided that it's most probably going to be outward appearances rather than trying to interpret someone's behavior. So stuff like wearing the same dirty clothes, personal hygiene being neglected, and maybe even sometimes the child might even tell you, and you could put one and one together and kind of figure that out. But most probably going to manifest in some sort of outward appearance, maybe personal hygiene.
Just to give you an example, we had a little boy. He would come to kids' clubs, and he will hide the biscuits in his pockets, like pockets, like full of biscuits. And that's the way we picked up. Like, this didn't happen once because it was nice biscuits. It happened every week. And then we started, like, this is not normal. Another friend of ours adopted a little boy. And he would take, they will go and feed the horses, and he will always hide the apple. After the horse took a bite out of the apple, he will hide it in his pockets. And that's how they picked up that this child actually was neglected. It's simple things, but keep an eye, you know. Sometimes, yes, sometimes kids just love biscuits. But if you see this happening, then you're like, no, something is weird.
Thank you. And emotional, as you guys?
Wanna... So we ventured into two scenarios. First is like a child being withdrawn, like doesn't want to join in, and so that's a sign that they are emotional. And another one could be if they lash out, so some aggressive. Yeah. Yeah. If they speak negative about themselves, so when the child is withdrawn and then you speak to them, they can probably like stoop down and then they can say stuff about themselves like, oh, I'm a loser, and then obviously you think so, and then obviously you probably discuss why would you say that, so you probably assume someone has told them. Probably have their parents, or they're probably getting bullied at school for them to say something like that. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Let me just read a few more here. Attention seeking behavior, over friendly with others. So Margot mentioned the girl who wants to sit on everybody's lap. Depression or self-harm, drug abuse or something, you know, obviously in the younger children we might not see that, but you might see an interest in those kind of things in younger children. And you know what I said earlier about how children copy language, so if they, you know, even in the way they speak to other children, you might pick it up, especially if they're younger, and yeah, their behaviour towards other children in general. Okay, cool. Physical.
Yeah, so we said firstly the obvious one, which is like bruising, signs of potential abuse. Yeah. And the others are not necessarily so easy to identify, but if you look at certain behaviours, they might be aggressive towards others, other children. And they may act out violence with implements, with dolls or whatever. And also with drawings. And they may appear timid. So, for example, if you're disciplining them, they may cower as though they feel they're about to be hit or struck. So timid. So if they're about to be disciplined, they may draw back in anticipating violence. And there's also whether injuries are actually being reported by a parent. So they may be hiding the fact that these children have got injuries because they've been inflicted. Is there anything else you remember?
Yeah, I know. I think that last one is... Or if the parent's story changes. So if the parents, you know, say, oh, he has that bruise because he was in an accident or because he fell, but then the story changes or something, inconsistencies, yeah.
And they may also be withdrawn as well.
Yeah. Sorry. So I'm just telling you all these things that you can... we had a boy, David. David, every time that he comes to kids' club, if you give him a high five, he kicks me at the same time. Or he will punch me. I was like ready for David. If David comes to kids' club, like, I'm going to say hello to you, but I'm going to do it. And then one day I went to visit David as usual, and I could hear motion in the house, and Mum's opened the door, and she had a shiner. And Dad was swearing in the background. And then I put two and two together. It's not that David wanted to attack me. It was, this is the only way David knows about love. Because I take it on as love. And it was amazing how, when we started to say to David, David, you don't have to hit me. You can hug me. Okay? And we just started to do things like that. But even that, you know, he thinks he plays with you, but it hurts when he plays with you. That's a very good example of, as well, of actually got abused at home.
Yeah. I mean, Sorry. I was just going to say, in that first case study we did, actually that was something we picked up. The little girl, she was very vivacious, very playful, very loud. And every time the person that she mentioned was hitting her came to pick her up, she was visibly very scared. You could see the change in her behaviour, and it was very strange. So, and that was the first instance that I'd ever seen such a marked response in a child to an adult, and I've not seen it since. So it was, that was why we, you know, we already had the thing in our mind, you know. Sorry, Maria.
If you see a bruise on a child, do you ask him, oh, what happened there? Or should you rather not comment and ask the parent?
For me, actually, it would depend on where the bruise was. So if it's on a knee, yes, I would, as a way of, you know, making conversation and showing that I care. But if it's a bit more of an unusual bruise, I probably wouldn't go there. I'd just probably record it. If it begins to happen again, then follow the correct procedures. But I don't think I would. I don't know, Margot, if you would agree with that. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, certain areas, yes. Especially finger marks. You can easily see finger marks if on a child's arm. I was au pair, and the kid went it was a Monday, and the kid went to nursery. And when I went to pick up the kid, the parent, they said to me, can you please ask the parents to phone us? And I was like, okay. And the woman was a little bit weird with me. So I said, yeah, no, I'll ask Debbie. Debbie phoned, and Debbie came back, and she said, Margot, I feel very, very bad. Because Joshua had the thing that he bit everybody. Okay, like if you do something to him, he bites you. And then Debbie read somewhere you had to bite the child back, so she bit him on his arm. And then they thought it was me, the au pair, that bit the child. Okay, she said, I couldn't tell them no, it was me who bit them. So it's just But that is how seriously. But see, that's a good example of somebody who picked up about something that the parent didn't think twice about, but we got into trouble about that. So, but finger marks on the top of the arms, a lot of time, and also. I don't. Maybe you can tell me, but apparently on your shoulder bone, you don't bruise easily. And so, if it's on your shoulder bone as well, they said collarbone. that would look weird. So just these certain areas, but like on the legs, kids fall, kids jump, they go crazy. But up, yeah, like inside, but up. Up on the arms, because and the neck, of course, but but like, guys, we must pray that this stays outside our kids' club.
Amen. Okay, you guys have got the maybe the not the hardest one, but the
so I think. There's a lot of passover between neglect and physical. We'd be looking for like bruises that shouldn't occur on children, like inside of your legs, inside of your arms, neck, collarbone, sort of looking for children who have been held down, and those sort of sorts of bruising. Also, we were talking about like inappropriate behaviour with like home play, so like home corners or with toys, their dolls doing things that they shouldn't do, or their animals, or even playing like mummies and daddies or brothers and sisters and doing inappropriate things there. Talking as well about. The way that they talk about things, or and people who like pick them up again, like Charlotte was saying about the behaviour change with people, and usually it will be in certain people, or becoming afraid of the dark, timid again, like fears they've never had before. And I think it kind of plays back, not even just for this one, but for all of them, that when we do creative activities with them, letting the children do whatever they want, because they might paint something and say, this is what happens to me at night. If you tell them to paint a flower and say, that's not how you paint a flower, you know, if you let them express themselves in arts and crafts, it gives them a way to, and not tell them what it is, they can tell you more. What else?
Back to the fear and the timid, timid. I think many times, or what we are speaking about here is sometimes that kids don't want to go out, but in some cases it is that kids just want to go to kids' church because they're moving away from the perpetrator or the whatsoever, that they just want to go to kids' church, or just want to stay at kids' church because they don't want to go back home or to the familiar place where the perpetrator is, just to add to the fears.
And there's a my mum's friend's daughter is actually experiencing something, experienced this, and I think the way that it sort of came out was, there was no physical signs, but like mentally she changed. She had, you know, she started hearing voices, she was tormented, and then actually she's a teenager, so then she was actually the way she saw herself, she wanted to go out and find men and boys and have inappropriate relationships with their friends, and she was sort of like looking for sexual contact because like something changed in her head, and that's how she like felt love. So I think like a change of behavior with their friends, not just like, but like wanting to go out, like young teenagers wanting to go out and get drunk, or wanting to have sex so young and being so proud of it, like that sort of change of mental, that's a big thing.
And also, we spoke about behavior, but also behavior in terms of appearance, how the kids walk, they struggle to walk, sitting, and even infections around the mouth. We would speak about cold sores or maybe whatever, but it can be infections as well. Stuff like that to be aware of.
Thanks, guys. On that also I've got like stomach pain, which is what you said. Eating disorders or depression, well, I guess that's related to the mental health stuff that you were mentioning. Thanks for doing that. I know it's not very nice, but it is important that we're aware of it, and like I say, you know, we, with this bigger vision, you know, we want to reach these children. These are the children we want to have in church. These are the children that need church. So, you know, we need to be prepared for them to be here. Melanie's just going to take a couple of minutes now. And then I'm going to talk you through the DBS process and specifically what the process we're going to go through here with the Children's Church workers.
Okay, guys, really, this is really the last part. So the DBA, not me, I'm not, but what Charlotte just said, we are going to end off with that and just pray after that. So I know we're a little bit longer, but this is really for us important, the safeguarding and also the DBS. And just before, maybe I'm just going to do that and say that it is so important to us that we spoke to the pastors, and they really said that the church is going to stand in the gap for the money for the DBS. So we don't expect you to pay for that. So that's how important it is to us. But it's necessary that Sally would have been here today, but she's sick. So Sally is the person that is our contact person, and she will explain to you what Sally where the process is at the moment. And I'm sure there's all of you that work with kids know that it's so important to have have a DBS check, but she's going to just explain the process just after me, and then we will quickly pray together, and so please bear with us for just a few couple of minutes, okay? Thank you for, bearing with us, because I think these things are so important if we do it in groups rather than just talk about it, so it's good. Okay, I want you to quickly stand up. Elizabeth, come stand next to me here. And Nigel this side, and Jackie also, Jackie and Nigel on this side. Almery, you can join Elizabeth on, no, Ian, I need a guy. Maybe Anku, because it's your birthday, okay? So come stand here next to me. Okay, I want you, did I say Jackie and, oh yeah, you're five, no, five, that's, just move to that side. Okay. You can all watch. the welcome one, the welcome and the worship, I want you to boogie while you say it. So can you tell us what was the first thing again? If you do children's church, what do you have to do? You have to do the? No? You have to do the welcome and the worship, but you must tell us the welcome and the worship, and you must boogie while you say it.
Oh. Yes,
welcome and worship. Okay. And the second one, you have to rub your tummy and tap on your head on the same time and tell us what is the second thing you do in children's church?
Birthdays and rules.
Okay, can everybody do that, what Jackie did? Birthdays and rules. Can you do that? Tap on your head and rub your tummy. Tap on your head and say birthdays and rules. Birthdays and rules. Birthdays and rules. And the first one we forgot, welcome and worship. Welcome and worship. Welcome and worship. Okay. And the third one, I want you to, where's my book now? Sorry. I want you to stand on your one leg. And yes, so what will we do? This is the third thing in children's church that we do. Okay, so I want you to hop on your one leg and say memory verse and lesson. Memory verse and lesson. Okay, and then you've got the privilege to sing for us the snack and chat. You have to sing to us, snack and chat, and we have to sing with Elizabeth. Anything. Snack and chat.
Snack and chat.
Okay, and the most difficult part of leaving for Hanku, because it's his birthday, he must rap for us. Arts and crafts. Okay, I'll back you up. Okay, are you ready? Arts and crafts. Okay, let's do it all together. Yay! Okay, so remember those five things that you have to remember in children's church. That is our stations, that is our outline, that's how we do children's church. And just to see if you can remember the rules, number one?
God will.
No, I'm talking to Elmi. God? Okay, everybody say?
God will.
Jackie, second rule? Yes, everybody say, listen to your leader. Third one? Okay, show us the movement. Whistle means silence. The fourth one, Elizabeth? Okay, so everybody show the thumb. I mean the fist. Respect one another. You respect one another, okay? Respect, yeah. And the last one?
I have the last one.
Having fun, yay! Okay, you can quickly take your seats.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so DBS stuff. Okay, I'm going to need the slides now because I don't have anything here. Okay, so as I said, DBS stands for Disclosure and Borrowing Service. It's all about keeping our children safe. The DBS needs to be done to identify candidates who may be unsuitable to work with children. It's a government agency set up to administer the checks to protect the children, and the disclosure is a document containing the information held by the police and government departments that provides details of a person's criminal record. So your disclosure enables SHOFAR to check that you don't have a history that makes you unsuitable to work with our children. So, I mean, some of you have probably got some from other agencies, but the way that it works is that every agency or every organisation must DBS check all their children's workers, even if you have one in a different context. Yes, Jackie.
If you sign up for the update service, is that update service just for that institution? Or can you, if you're on
Okay. The question is, if you sign up for the update service, is it just for one organisation? Is that where you get like a reference number?
Yeah,
and then you... I'm unsure. I think what will happen, Sally's going to manage all the documentation. So if that's the case for you, maybe just let her know. She can check with the organisation that we use and just let you know how that will work if you've got that. But in that regard, it can seem a bit like I've got maybe, you know, six on the go at the same time, but it's just the way it is. Okay, next slide, please. Okay. So, advocate for Shofar Children hears child's concerns, responsible for investigating these, and acts independently reporting concerns of abuse to the authorities. And as I said earlier, sorry, safeguarding coordinator is Hanku. So, Sally and I are also involved, and Margot's also involved, you know, because she's leading the children's work. But Hanku will be the person who decides, okay, do we take this further or not, and reports the cases if needed. Is that okay? Oh, getting a close up of Hanku. There you go. There's our safeguarding coordinator, everybody. Okay. And the safeguarding policy, which you will get a copy of once, you know, all the stuff has gone through, then he is making sure that that's up to date, that we've got everything covered and all of that. Okay, so this is the organisation which we are registered, which a lot of churches use, Churches Child Protection Advisory Service. So basically they provide you with all the templates that you might need. You can call them for advice like you would do with Ofsted if you had an educational organisation. Basically, Sally is our main contact with them, so she's the one liaising with them, working out, okay, what do we do, what do we need to put in place, and she is responsible for doing all the DBS checks. So when it comes to checking documents, doing the paperwork, sending emails, that's Sally's thing, and I'm also supporting in that. And yes, so those are the people you need to remember: Hanku, Sally, me, and then probably Margot will be involved should any concerns come up because of her role. Okay, fabulous. So, application process. So as you've seen, there is a sign-up sheet out there to ask you what you would like to be involved with in Children's Church. Everybody in any capacity, teacher or assistant, will need a DBS check. And this is the process that will happen. So, once you've signed up, showed an interest that you'd like to be involved, you will get an email from Sally, which will include the safeguarding policy, which is quite a big document, but again, very, very important so that you know where we're at and what is our policy. Your children's worker application form, what I just want to say, I mean, it's not a test, you know, it's not like applying for a job, and you're going to have an interview, and then we'll let you know if you're successful. The application form is a legal requirement that we have to have so that we have your details and, you know, your experience, everything like that. But it's not, you know, like a test. It's fine. A self-declaration form, which you give permission to Sally to start the process, and an online disclosure application. So that means basically you'll be sent a link, you click on it, you fill in the stuff, and then after that, you will show Sally your documents. So there's a list of documents that you will get, different ones, passport, driving license, blah, blah, blah. And then you will show them to Sally, and then Sally will go online and verify that she's seen the documents that you've put in your application. And then your DBS will come, hopefully not too long after that. Sally just wanted to emphasise these points. It may seem like a lot of paperwork, but as we said, the end goal is to keep the children safe is necessary. And initially, it seems like a lot, but as I said earlier, these things will just become routine. You know, it will be standard, and it will become much easier with time. The more used to it we get. And as I think I said earlier, the check is only valid actually on the day you do it, because the next day you could go out and, you know, be arrested for something, and it won't be on that check. But the current standards, you redo them every 3 years, so they're valid, if you like, for 3 years. But if anything were to happen in those 3 years, it's your responsibility to declare, you know, actually this has changed now. And what we probably will do, I know what they do in my workplace, for example, is every year you fill in a declaration that just says nothing has changed this year. I'm still current as I was on my last check. Contact Sally at any point for help and advice. And basically all of this is sort of in the process. So this is the next step, if you like, from here, this training day. This is what's going to happen going forward, and we are busy working on it and getting everything set up and good to go. Any questions? No, yeah? You want to?
Yeah. I'm not actually quite sure. If something happens in class, a child say something to you, like someone hit him or anything, do I go first to Marco or to Hanku? Or
You first write down a piece of paper. Then, as soon as possible, you give it to Hanku in his hand. Or, if he's not here on that Sunday or whatever, take a picture of it and send it, email it. So straight to Hanku. Margot will probably be involved at the next level. But our person of contact is Hanku. Straight to Hanku, straight away. Is that clear? Yes.
I just wanted to add that, is that if, for any reason, if there's not that safeguarding, writing piece of paper down, write your first copy as quick as possible and then write it up to give it officially to Hanku. But still, even if you're in children's church and they're busy, write on the back of paper as soon as you can.
Absolutely. If you don't have that file, if you're out or whatever, write it down anywhere. This is just to help. Yeah.
Yeah, we just, we will make sure that in that orange file will have all the documents in as well. And yeah. And just keep it in there as well. I think I'm actually going to put a book in there as well. So if a kid also bump his head, just write it in, you know, anything if they, yeah, just write. This is to protect yourself. Yeah, but we have to keep it on record as well. So if somebody, yeah. Yeah, to tell the parents. And please, guys, it's important that we build relationship with the parents as well. I know we're still a small church, but, you know, I'm just looking back at my, in the past, is I still have relationship with those kids 15 years ago, with their parents. And you know, it's strange, some of them are still not Christians, but if they're going through a tough time on Facebook, they ask me to pray for them. So, yeah, let's build relationships. You know, Jesus always built relationships wherever he went. So, yeah, let's just do that as well.
Yeah, there's just a video. Oh, go on. Yeah. Yeah, it's just 2.5 minutes long. This video is just a basic summary, but it underlines a good point. And it's from the organization CCPAS. And then after this, we will be done. Almost done. We're going to pray. Okay. Thank you, Don.
Before we end off, I just want to tell you that speaking of the different... Oh, must I? Speaking of the different roles in Children's Church... yeah, it's, I don't know, yeah, I'm just going to say it straightforward. I've been involved in Children's Church for many years. It's 20 years now, and it's really, for me, it's always a privilege and always, and it will always be, and I'm always going to be around at the Children's Church because that is where my heart is, and it's really what I love to do. So, like you heard, that I will be doing the praise and worship, and you will see me a lot of times in the church to make, I didn't say that today, but there must be awareness of the Children's Church always in church. The church, the pastor, luckily the pastor of this church got a heart for the children because of his wife. Yeah, and also David and Sally, they also have got a heart for the children, but that's really important for me, that the pastor needs to have a heart for Children's Church and that there must be awareness of Children's Church in the church. So so you will see me a lot of times doing dances and baby performances and stuff with the children, and that's really my heart. But just to tell you today that I will still have pastoral input, and with Hercules, there will definitely be pastoral input. But I'm just telling you today that if you want to contact, if there's anything that you need to contact about or need to find out or whatever, Margot is taking that role. So, so Margot is our Children's Church coordinator, and she will do the she's the one that you contact, and she's the one that that's also talking to Hercules. And you know, if there's anything that needs to be discussed, what is the word? Not discussed. Arrange or communicate it or whatever. So Margot is that person, and Charlotte also is part of the team, and she's also a coordinator, but Margot is just taking the lead. So I'm just giving it over to Margot today. Okay? So, like I said, if Margot is available, contact Charlotte, but Margot is the contact person for that. And I just want to tell you, as you could see today, that in Children's Church, it's amazing to have a team. And as I'm just still being part of the team, but not in the leading role, I just want to thank Charlotte and Margot for this amazing journey for the last few months, and also just for planning this training day. It was such an amazing honor. As you could see today, everything just fell a little bit, not a little bit, it fell into place because of we've got different anointings. So, and that is what in every ministry, there's anointing that comes when there's a team that works together. And I could just see today as we were operating, we didn't even plan it directly that way, but it just worked out that we're just stepping into our offices, and it's just amazing how God does it, you know. So he's orchestrating that as well. So I just have a little gift for Margot and for Charlotte to say thank you for your effort for today. So there's your prawn crackers. I heard that you love them. And there's your chocolate. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you to you guys for helping me and for making it a big success today. Yeah. So if we can just turn... You can turn together, and you can turn together, and we just, I'm going to hand this out to you. You don't have to pray specifically over this, and I just want to say, children, well done. Look at all of your work. It's so amazing. Nigel, I want to say a special wow to Nigel today. Nigel, you can have a sweetie afterwards because you're so good today, especially with the arts and craft today. So, thank you so much for coming today. It was really such an honor to have all of you here and a privilege to work with all of you. And just to remind you, please write your name down if you haven't done so. Even though you're not committing today, but you want to commit in the future, write your name down. And like I said, maybe you will not do what your preference are at the moment for the age, or maybe, but we will not throw you into the deep side. We will take you as an assistant, and hopefully you will come to a place of saying, okay, now I want to raise up another assistant, and I'm moving over to be a teacher. Because the more people we have, the just how more effective we can work towards the ages of the kids, because that's important to us, to break up the ages, okay? And then the last thing that Hercules asked me just to tell you, if you have to do copies for Children's Church, rather do copies. At the moment, we don't have a copy machine yet. Rather do copies and keep the receipt, and then you can, what is ice? And you can claim it from the church, or you can even give it to Margot and she can claim it or whatever. So just do that, on your own now, because this is not a copy machine. It's a printing machine, and it's not okay. So don't use it for copy on a Sunday, quickly before Sunday church. So I mean Children's Church. Okay, and then the last thing before we pray. Please, guys, if you that's the most important thing for me, for Children's Church. You need to be on time for your prep, okay? So the time that we normally say is 8:30. Is that 8:30, yeah? 8:30, so that you'll be finishing setting up till 9:15 for intercession, because it's very important that you join the intercession before church so that we can be prayed up for the Children's Church. So 8:30 and then 9:15 intercession. Okay, so let's break into groups, and then if you finish, you're welcome to go. And thank you so much again for coming this afternoon. Let's just pray in our groups, specifically for the people that you're trusting, you don't have to call them by name, but you can just mention to God that, God, I'm giving you this people today, and I'm trusting you for them, and also for our children's church, and for Margot and Charlotte taking the lead. Okay, thank you.